Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast, where we talk about week five of the NFL season of 2018, along with some NFL-related news and pretty much anything NFL.
Let's do it.
Well, welcome, everyone. My name's Jason. With me is Miles, possibly on days off still. Who knows?
Possibly. We'll say yes for the meantime.
Yes for the meantime. So I'll run through the scores just like each and every week. The first with the Thursday night game. The Seahawks just getting over the LA Rams 30-29. The Cardinals, their first win, beating the hapless Bengals 26-23. And the Buffalo Bills still going very well over the Tennessee Titans 14-7.
The enigma that is the Titans.
And the Oakland Raiders getting over the Bears 24-21. The New Orleans Saints getting over the Buccaneers 31-24, but anyone can do that. The Vikings. I wouldn't say smashing, but easily beating the Giants 28-10. The Eagles smashing their New York Jets 31-6. The Baltimore Ravens getting over the Steelers 26-23. The Patriots doing what the Patriots normally do, but only winning 33-7 against the Redskins.
Oh, they should have beat them 63-7.
The Carolina Panthers, another enigma team, but getting over the Jaguars 34-27.
That was a fun game. That was a really fun game to watch the highlights of.
Especially when you can see Christian McCaffrey just...
Oh, my God.
That guy can run forever. The Houston Texans, in a high-scoring affair, beating the Atlanta Falcons 53-32. The Broncos beating the LA Chargers 2013. The Packers beating the Cowboys 34-24. The Indianapolis Colts getting over the Kansas City Chiefs 19-13, which I'm sure no one picked that. I'd be very surprised.
Nobody would have picked that. And if you did, that was a fluke.
And rounding out the 49ers, still them and the Patriots, the only undefeated team, getting over the Browns 31-3. So, which game do you want to talk about first?
Well, I guess we could probably just start with the Thursday night game. That was a pretty, that was a wild game in Seattle.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable game to watch.
Very enjoyable.
It looks to me like, is someone coming into MVP candidacy? Can't even say the word properly.
Candidacy.
Yeah, that's the word. is Russell Wilson playing MVP football this year? I gotta stop drinking.
MVP's giving you trouble, right?
Yeah, I gotta stop drinking.
Nobody can touch him. Like, what would actually happen if he had a decent offensive line in front of him?
Yeah.
Like, if he's probably the best, the best scrambler that there is out there. Like, he's so effective. You can't lay a finger on him. Uh-uh. The Saints has got a pretty good front four, front seven. They couldn't lay a finger on him.
No.
And the Rams, they couldn't. They were having trouble. They were having trouble trying to catch him. So you just like, oof, righto.
Aaron Donald couldn't even sort of get to him. So
no.
The LA Rams, if any team, you're right, the Saints, but if any team I thought they could get to Russell Wilson, it'd be the LA Rams this year so far. But yeah, he's just an elusive. I mean, he always has been elusive. I don't know. He's just playing better than he has in years past.
Yeah, I think they've... Yeah, they've smartened up a little bit now. They've got some weapons around him now. Chris Carson is a pretty damn good running back. And he's starting to, now that he's got over his little fumble fest that he had in the first couple of weeks. He hasn't fumbled the ball, and he's getting through the work. And that I don't know if you remember that touchdown pass that he caught where he was just absolutely wide open and he almost dropped it. Like, he bobbled it up in the air And it was just like a hard, and that was on like a fourth and one. Oh, sorry, like a fourth and goal that they went to him on, you know, on that TD pass. And it's just like, oh, he nearly dropped it. And it's like, oof. Yeah, and it was like, I think that was like 2 minutes 30 to go. They went for the 2 points after that, like the 2 point conversion as well. Just, I think to sort of push it out, to push it out to more than two scores, and they missed the 2 point conversion. So that sort of screwed them a little bit. And then yeah, they had the interception inside the last 2 minutes by the Seahawks, and then you know the they ended up getting a three and out, and the Rams just marched down the field. And I thought I remember messaging you and said, like, I cannot pick a Thursday game. Like, this game's gone. Like, the Rams were just doing it so easy, marching down the field. And they got to within a fairly good field goal range. And and the Rams kicker, who's is it Zerline? He's usually very reliable.
Missed
a 43-yarder.
Kicks a 65-yard field goal in the first, but misses a 45-yarder. So,
yeah, that was just bizarre.
It looked like Todd Gurley slowly coming back to the way Todd Gurley used to play. 15 carries for 51 yards.
Yeah, I think whether that's on him going to the coaching staff to sort of say, you know, I need to get back into these games, or the coaching staff are, you know, finally starting to put a little bit more trust back into him and go, okay, we're going to give you the work, just don't get hurt.
Yeah.
So, whether it's a little from column A, a little from column B. So, but he's starting to get the work back in the legs a little bit now. So that's only going to make the Rams a little bit more dangerous. And with Cooper Kupp that he's playing, like, just unbelievable.
That was the other thing, is that you're right. I mean, the Rams are already dangerous, but then this Gerald Everett comes out of nowhere and gets 7 carries for 136 yards. So their wide receiving stock is just ridiculous between Kupp, Everett, Woods, Brandon Cooks.
That's right. And Higbee, the other tight end, like it's almost as if they've got too much. To look at it, and it could be any one of those guys that can light up for the week.
Yeah, I agree, and this is probably not a bad thing. I was going to say too much could be problematic if someone does, you know, not has a whinge, but if they, I guess, not happy that they're getting the ball, but they seem to sort of balance the line, like, except for Cooper Kupp, who's always playing well this year. They always balance the line of, your Brandon Cook, who didn't have a good game there, someone else came through. So, it was a very enjoyable game, and the Rams definitely deserved to win. I just think, Russell Wilson's at the moment, we're only 5 weeks in, but he's playing very, very, very good MVP football.
Well, you'd have to say that there's sort of three MVP candidates at the moment. That's Mahomes, Wilson, and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to lead to the next team in which Christian McCaffrey plays for the Panthers, getting over the Jaguars. What else? You know, you get 19 carries, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Six catches, 61 yards, and one more touchdown. Like, you know, if you've got him in fantasy, you're quite happy.
You're definitely happy. You're right. He's definitely MVP candidacy so far, but we're 5 weeks in. Surely there's no way he can keep that up, or Carolina need to give someone else the ball. Not for the rushing. I get the rushing, but I don't know. He's going to burn out, surely. No player can do that. I mean, I don't know. You're probably going to prove us all wrong, but no player can do that.
Well, it looks at this point in time, he's looking like an Iron Man. But who else really? If they got to rely on?
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right.
That's the problem. That's the
problem. That's what I'm really getting at. They don't have anybody that they can rely on at all. They could do with one of those LA Rams sort of wide receivers. That'd be actually really good.
Someone like a Brandon Cooks, or you know, Robert Woods, or somebody like that. Like, you know, and you know, Gardner Minshew looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
Well. I think. Well, they're sort of their main receivers is DJ Moore with Carolina. So and he's not your quintessential number one receiver. But when you've got somebody like McCaffrey there, then you know you definitely need to utilize him. And the young fella Curtis Samuel, that's what I was thinking of as well. Like yeah, Curtis Samuel, because I can't think of who that they let go. They let go to Detroit, one of their wide receivers from last year. So he's gone. So you know, Kyle Allen really doesn't have a whole lot to sort of throw to. And I'm not 100% sure if old man Greg Olsen played at all for Carolina this week. He didn't get a target, so I'm not sure if he was actually no. playing or not.
No, he wasn't playing. He wasn't
that's,
playing.
That's a nice, you know, for a young quarterback. You know, if you're going to be a successful sort of young quarterback, it's nice to have, or even, you know, just a mediocre quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have that safety blanket of a good tight end. So, and Greg Olsen, when healthy, is definitely that.
And like where you mentioned Gardner Minshew before, yeah, he 26 out of 44 that throws, and he got 374 yards, but. The thing I noticed with that game is that DJ Shark Jr., it's his go-to guy.
That's his man. That's his man at the moment.
And he's catching the ball and making like an average of 20 and a half yards in that game, which is pretty ridiculous. So.
And even Dede Westbrook was still getting, he got plenty of receptions as well. So it was a sort of like a decent sort of two-man aerial attack for Minshew. So, you know, that's like I said, you know, it's nice for a young, you know, he's only a rookie. It's nice for him to have those, you know, to have those decent weapons around him. But unlike Blake Bortles, who couldn't get the ball to those sorts of guys, like looks like Gardner Minshew can actually, you know, can actually sort of get it to these receivers. So, that seems to be a big difference in how they're playing football this year.
And look, they did lose that game. They're down 2-3. I think the way they're playing, and it all depends what happens to Gardner Minshew. Well, sorry, that's what happened to him. It's Cousins. No, who was injured?
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
Saint Nick.
They could be a sneaky wild card team.
Yeah, well, again, that's, you know, the AFC South, and that's probably one of the more intriguing divisions in the league at the moment. You know, Houston have gone all out to say they're going to win now, but you know, Indianapolis, I think, are they 3-2 now? So you know, they're certainly not out of it by any means. If and when the trade goes through for Jalen Ramsey, it'll be interesting to see what they can get in regards to players that they can use now and draft picks that they can get in the future. So that'll be rather interesting to see what sort of haul they can get for Jalen Ramsey if and when the trade goes through, because he's making up all the excuses under the sun to not be able to play. So, Shahid Khan, the owner of the Jags, he's got to make a decision sooner rather than later.
Yeah, true. He's got a fledging wrestling promotion too as well. So
yeah, no, they're,
well, his son does, but
yeah,
Tony Khan. Well, Tony Khan, is it? No, Tony Khan's the son. Amir Khan. Yeah, you are right.
Yeah. Is it Amir or Shahid? I thought it was Shahid Khan.
Oh, it's a Khan. That's all I know.
He's got pretty poor talent there at AEW. You know, it's, you know, got some rejects there. So
yeah, the champion's a reject, but whatever.
He's a total reject. A little bit of the bubbly.
He wore that shirt too. Segwaying into the Colts, getting over the Kansas City Chiefs, 19.
Yeah, that was a real sort of ground and pound type of game. that they just said yeah, that we're going to win this. We're going to win if yeah, if you want to beat us, then you've got to stop the running game. And they just fed Marlon Mack those football burgers all game, and he ate them all up.
Yep. Well, and you know, yeah, Jacoby Brissett, you're right. He didn't have a lot of pass yardages, which is fine. He's probably still getting, you know, I guess getting his feet, so to speak, because he probably had. I mean, I'm assuming they trained, but he's probably had not much preseason with these.
He wouldn't have had a lot of preseason with the number ones
until
probably that last week before Andrew Luck decided to retire. But also as well, like, don't forget that he started a lot of games 2 years ago when Luck was coming back before, or when Luck was injured before the 2018 season, and Luck played every game, or most, I think he played every game. But you know, Brissett was there, and they had him there. They got him the year before, and I think he started like 11 games for the Colts in 2017. So. It's not as if he's sort of out of touch with it, but the recipe for success, by the looks of it, is just going to be feeding Marlon Mack as much as possible, and you know they've got two pretty reliable tight ends in Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle, so they've got pretty good talent all the way around and a decent offensive line as well, so they're still bred for success. Right now, it's just that it's just as far as Jacoby Brissett can take him.
Yeah, true. And I mean, people are saying, coming out and saying Mahomes had a poor game. I mean, if a poor game is 22 out of 39 throws for 321 yards, I mean,
ordinary.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly, that's just an ordinary game. So
yeah, that's a pretty well. That's the thing. He was sort of a little bit banged up as well. He come out of one huddle with it. Looked like he had like a sore thigh, and then he was trod on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. This was before that as well. He come out of one, and he had that same left side. It looked like he got hit in the thigh, and then he got trod on. His ankle got trod on by his own player.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't as mobile. Just wasn't as fleet of foot, shall we say. So yeah, he just and even to say that, like, you'd still think that, you know, Patrick Mahomes on one leg should still got the arm talent to be able to hit his receivers. You know, no Sammy Watkins. Obviously, no Tyreek Hill still. Travis, I think they did a really good job. I think the Colts defensively did a really good job on Travis Kelce. So that's obviously his fallback person. So they didn't. The Colts did a really good job in controlling what they could and controlling time of possession. And just keeping Mahomes off the field, not really being able to capitalize on their trips to the red zone, but they were getting 3 points at a time, and yeah, then they got the job done. So, also then the other thing too was that I've sort of did a little bit of did a little bit of research on it as well, and they said that that Frank Reich, who's the coach there at Indianapolis, he actually has analytic guys that are up in the booth, on you know, up in the top booth to sort of give him percentages on whether to go for it, you know, on certain fourth down situations. So you know, that's kind of interesting to hear that. But the other big thing about that too, I think it was with about 5 minutes to go, and they actually stopped. The Colts actually stopped KC on downs. Like, they went for it on, I think it was like a 4th and 3, and they stopped. I think was it Damian Williams? Because I think he came back this week. I think they stuffed him at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, that was a big, big turnover and, you know, a big turnover on downs, and that went a long way for Indianapolis to sort of grind them out at the end.
Yeah, no, definitely. I guess I just felt like in that game, it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was the Indianapolis Colts game to lose, but I think you're right. They just grinded that game, especially that last quarter. They grinded that game out because they only had that 6-point lead after they got that touchdown, and they just really grinded it out. It was really good.
So, do you want to have a little therapy session on your Cowboys from
now? We'll talk about another
Sunday
team. We'll talk about another team. I don't really want to talk about them this week, so we can talk about another team.
going down 31-3 at one point, the Cowboys. So all I've got to say is, and I totally stole this line off ESPN, but Green Bay laid the pack down on the Dallas Cowboys this week. So yeah, I thought that was fantastic. So
yep,
not in that sort of regard, but man, did Aaron Jones have a day out?
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah, and look, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go into it too much, but the Packers, I mean, it was a lot of garbage for the Cowboys to come back and get to 24, but that the Packers had that game won literally after that first quarter when they were 14. 21. Yeah. So
but they did the same thing a couple of weeks ago against the Vikings. They come out and they were 21-0 up, you know, just inside the second quarter, and then just sort of held out the Vikings on that game. That was a couple of weeks ago, and they sort of did the same thing here. You know, whether they put the cue in the rack, and sort of Dallas came back a little bit there, and Amari Cooper and Gallup had super games. You know, when it come into the second half.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Yeah, Cooper just, 11 receptions over 226 yards. Like, that's ridiculous.
But they could have been a lot better. I just think it wasn't the greatest game by Dak Prescott. He threw a lot of interceptions. And
he threw three, didn't he? Three interceptions?
There was a lot of offensive, and these were all right, but there was a lot of offensive. If he did throw a good pass, they were called back from a flag. And
called back for holding. Oh,
for holding.
Offensive
or for a lot,
holding.
And that was,
oh, my
yep.
God. They're the and worst that, penalties to give away.
Yep. And that was they were all justified. So it's not like I'm crying spilt milk. It just he didn't have his best game. Hopefully he bounced back next week against the Jets, because it probably would have been good if he signed that contract for his sake earlier. But
well, yeah, as we were sort of as we were discussing, I think it was yesterday, was sort of saying, you know, maybe he should have just come out and just said, yeah, just give us a contract now, because his price is being shaved a little bit more the last couple of games that he's had against the Saints and now against the Packers. So that's a very interesting dynamic, that he's been so good and now has been pretty ordinary, and now he's going to go up against the Jets. So he should be able to beat the living, you know what, out of the Jets. So you would think so. So poor old Luke Falk, didn't he get pummeled again over the weekend? that boy's getting—he's just getting a beating. Sort of just one little thing.
Yeah, you go. Yep.
Oh no, just one little thing. Just out of the Patriots Skins game was Brady went past Brett Favre into third in the all-time passing yards list.
Yeah.
So, you know, congrats to old man Brady. Well, he doesn't look like an old man.
To evergreen Brady.
Brady. You know, he's got some sort of magic potion or something like that. So,
it's called a model for a wife. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Well, that's probably it. He must be stealing some of her, like oil of Olay or something like that. Or something.
Yeah. Well, hey, maybe. My other game was that.
No, the only two that are in front. Yeah, the only two that are in front of him are Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. So, yeah. I think it's even close. It'll probably be next week that he'll go past Peyton Manning. So, I think he's still about 3,000. I think he's about 3,000 yards or something behind Drew Brees, but he's probably going to play another 8 seasons after Brees finishes, so it's not going to matter.
The other game I was going to sort of mention, I guess moving on before the news, and that was the 49ers this morning. 31-3. Man. I mean, it wasn't that how good the 49ers were. It just was how terrible the Cleveland Browns were. I mean,
can we get a good Monday night game for once?
Yeah,
like, have we had a good Monday night game? Like, the NFL have done really bad in allocating these Monday night games this year. I think they've all been horrible.
But if you scale back 3 or 4 weeks ago, before it started, you this would have been a marquee game.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
the 49ers were on the way up, and the Browns were the hype team. So,
of course. Oh, that's one thing that I sort of thought about, that Nick Bosa is going to be in Baker Mayfield's dreams for the next week. Like, he absolutely terrorized him today. He only got two sacks on him, but I think he hit him 4 times. He just broke through that Browns offensive line so many times, and he was scrambling for his life.
That was such a good pick by the 49ers when they picked him up. I picked him up on the draft. I think that was an easy pick. I think
of course it was.
He only played
like 3 games for Ohio State in his last year of eligibility before going into the draft this year, because he knew he was going to be a super high draft pick. And I think was he number 2?
Number 2, yeah. So was his brother. So two number 2s, Joey Bosa for the LA Chargers. So that food bill must be crazy in the Bosa household, because
that would have been a big food bill. They were showing little bits and pieces on those two, and apparently they're only the second lot of brothers and their father to all go in the first round. Obviously the other ones were Archie Manning and obviously Peyton and Eli Manning are two first round draft picks. So he's just a menace. He is an absolute menace. So, but the thing was, like, the 49ers weren't perfect by any means.
They made
a lot of mistakes as well. Like, Jimmy G is looking better, and that's all I was saying today. This is only his 14th start. So, they've put a lot of money into him, $120 million into him, which is a huge amount of money to put into somebody who's only started, even before they paid him. I think he'd only started like 9 games in the NFL. So that is a huge amount of money.
And he's not young. He's 27. So he's not a young guy.
He's 27 years old. He sat behind Brady for four years. In New England before
when
he did anything.
Him up in the draft. Yeah, true.
Yeah, so that's a thing. He sat there and bided his time, and now he's now he's sort of bearing the fruits of what they're paying him for. But their running game is just ridiculous. Like, they've got 3 really, really good running backs there in San Francisco as well. Obviously with Tevin Coleman, and he's a product of Mike Shanahan in Atlanta, so you could see why they went out and got him in the offseason. But Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert as well, like, they're 2 really solid running backs, and that was the secret sauce today, was just a healthy dose of running the ball, because the Browns just couldn't stop the run. So why would you go away from it?
Yeah, and it looked like some George Kittle's coming to slowly back to form.
Oh my God, he was a beast today.
70 yards for a tight end, which, doesn't sound like much, but for a tight end, it's definitely a lot of yardage. So.
Oh, but there was a couple there where they were in a lot of trouble. On 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, and he would get 10 yards. Like, he was a beast.
I really love the tight. I mean, probably because they're so big. I love the tight ends getting the balls and receiving. They just I just feel like they get you the yardage. You only have to really throw the ball up in the air, not that high, and they don't even have to jump. I don't know. I love the tight ends getting the ball. Because they're agile. They're agile.
They're generally large human beings, but they're all, like you said, they're also super athletic as well.
Yeah, they run like wide receivers, but they're built like fucking defensive linemen, basically.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. But also, too, like, you know, it's like I said, you know, the Niners weren't perfect.
No.
They talked up the poor kicker for them for Robbie Gould, and they talked him up something chronic. He misses two field goals and he gets one blocked. So, you know, talk about the commentator's curse, something chronic there. Like, he's like the most accurate kicker, I think they said, in the last 4 years.
And he got
Justin Tucker for the Ravens. So, and he missed three field goals. So, that was just, nothing went right for the Niners. You know, mm-hmm. they even put OBJ back for a punt return, and him trying to get his, you know, just trying to spark him a little bit, just to try and make a play. And he ended up fumbling the ball, and the Niners ended up getting it back. So you're just like, oh man, like just nothing's going right.
But I tell you what, before we move on to news and that NFC West standings, that's a scary four teams. Like, yes, I got Arizona, but they're on the way up. But San Francisco 4-0, Seattle 4-1, and then LA Rams 3-2. Like, Jesus Christ,
it's a stacked division.
That is a stack. I mean, all three will make it, with the third making wild card. But that's going to be the top two, and that's going to be, that's going to be exciting, I guess, in the next 4 or 5 weeks to see who's really, I guess, going to stand
once
up.
Once you start getting past sort of, you know, week 7, week 8, once you get about halfway through, and then you can sort of, you know, the standings obviously are going to change that a little bit. Just before we head on, you know, with that points fest for Texans Falcons, like that was a crazy game. There was 35 points in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Like that was unbelievable. Nobody could stop anybody in that fourth quarter. Like it was crazy. You know, Deshaun Watson with 5 TD passes, and Will Fuller had a day out.
270 yards, and Will Fuller is probably, I don't ever see it. Last time I've seen him do 270, well, 3 touchdowns, which is great, but 217 yards.
Yeah. With DeAndre Hopkins not having a huge game, and also, you know, Julio Jones didn't have a big game. He only had 4 catches. So, you know, it was the day for the wide receiver twos. Calvin Ridley didn't do too badly, and obviously Will Fuller sort of, you know, racked up the stats. So, that was a wild game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think I didn't really go into it that much because I thought, they're right. It was a high scoring affair. The way Atlanta Falcons really played, I guess the whole season, Houston, while they put a lot of points on them, they shouldn't have let them get 32 points in either. So,
no.
I suppose it's always wild to watch when you can see 85 points. So there's defense happening at all.
Just thought it was worth noting that, there were some really good games this week. I thought that the Bengals Arizona game, you know, come down to a game-winning field goal at the end. The Ravens and the Steelers went into overtime. A fumble by Juju Smith-Schuster at the end there, which gave the Ravens field goal position to be able to kick the game winner there in overtime. So there were some really, really good games this week.
Broncos, I mean, really, they had that one too big in the Chargers.
That was out of nowhere.
They were up for ages. I mean, the Chargers came back
14-0 real early too. So I was just like, all right.
So, yeah, you're right. There was, it was a lot of upsets. If you're tipping, there's no way you tip a full round. That's ridiculous. But especially with the Chiefs in there, but... you're right. There was a lot.
That would have cost a lot of people a perfect round.
Oh, definitely. Imagine if you had that in a multi.
If you had that, woo, Indianapolis would have been paying a pretty penny.
So, did you want to move on to NFL news, or did you have some studs and duds this week?
No, we'll go through some news, and we'll get our studs and duds out of the way at the end there. So the big news that come out at 5 a.m. Eastern time over in the States that Jay Gruden was fired. So yeah, 5 a.m. is a bit of a weird time for that news to be coming out.
Apparently they called him into the office at 5 a.m.
Oh.
So the writing is Washington called head coach Jay Gruden into office at 5 a.m. and fired him at 5 a.m. in the morning. So that's brutal in itself. I mean, Dan Snyder's a bit of a, you know, he's one of those, I don't know, enigmatic owners is probably the best way to put
big
it.
Time. Yeah,
but he's called him in at 5 a.m. just to fire him. I mean, surely unless the guy just doesn't sleep, he would have just woke up and they played only what, the day before, or they would have at least had training before.
They played on the Sunday. So
yeah, they're 0-5.
I don't think there's been a lot of really good sort of continuity in that ball club. Mm-hmm. Recently, especially this year, because supposedly Jay Gruden didn't want Dwayne Haskins as that first round draft pick. So that's an interesting sort of dynamic to start with. And then obviously, you know, he didn't have the confidence in him to sort of play him. So you know, obviously they had Case Keenum and Colt McCoy there as well, and obviously Alex Smith is still there somewhere. I can only assume he's still on the payroll.
Trent Williams is in a holdout as well. So that, you know, they're beautiful left tackle player.
Their left tackle. So he's blaming their medical staff for misdiagnosis of a couple of injuries that he's had. So yeah, it's been a bit it's been a little disjointed that franchise for a little while now. Like Jay Gruden's been there for five years, I think they said that he's been their longest tenured coach since Snyder bought the team. I think in 1999, he's been their longest tenured coach, and he ends up, I think one playoff appearance, no wins, 35, 49, and one draw. Like 35 wins, 49 losses, and one draw. So, you know, a pretty underwhelming stats, you know, win loss wise, and also, like, you know, just going back to last year a little bit, like they were 6-3 with Alex Smith before he had that just horrific, you know, snapped leg against Houston. Like that's tough to watching, you know, like the bottom half of somebody's leg flap around in the breeze, but they were 6-3 and they ended up finishing the season 7-9. So they only got one more win after that. So would we be talking about him any differently, you know, if they had have maybe snuck into the playoffs, if Alex Smith didn't, you know, we can't, nobody's putting it on Alex Smith, but they were actually sort of looking okay last year with Alex Smith as their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're true. But, I mean, wins are wins, and that's all that the owners want. So if you don't get wins, they'll fire you. I mean, especially in this league,
they're essentially a large market sort of team.
Yeah, Arrowhead Stadium.
Are they FedEx Field? No, I can't think of Arrowhead, Kansas City.
Kansas City, okay. So their stadium used to be people would line up for years. I was in a podcast and people would line up and have 5 years waiting list for season tickets. Now it's, they're basically, people are trying to sell them and give them away.
Now it's a free-for-all, and they'd be cheap as chips.
I think
it was still a full stadium though, even though it was against the Patriots, they're most likely probably going to have a loss. But you have a look at teams like Cincinnati, You know, watching the highlights of the Bengals Cardinals game today, that stadium was half full. Wouldn't you think as an owner, and this is sort of going off on a little bit of a different sort of tangent, but wouldn't you think as an owner, it's your obligation to try and put the best product out there so you can fill that stadium so you can make money?
Yep.
Like, that's crazy. Like, you look in the stand, like the top section of the stands, there was huge, huge holes in there. So it's like, wow, like they're not even getting 2/3 of that stadium full.
No.
Like, that's bizarre. Like, you want full stadiums.
Yeah, you're true. And usually NFL games usually are full. Well, that's college right.
3,800 games a year.
You watch any college games and they're just full to the brim, and I'm sure people are still waiting outside, and they're big stadiums in themselves too. So,
well, some college stadiums are bigger than professional ones. The big house in Michigan is like 100,000.
Yeah. Yep.
I think Rocky Top in Tennessee, in Knoxville is near 100,000. So that's
for
crazy.
That's insanity. What did you think of that? What did you think? What are your thoughts on the Mason Rudolph hit? Well, massive hit, I should say, for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It didn't look great.
No, it didn't look great.
Hit him right on the chin, and he went down like a sack of dirt. Like he was out for the count.
The card broke.
But when you look at it when you look at it in slow motion, like it was just sort of not so much a glancing blow, but it's just when you get hit in the right spot, you know, it's night. So he just got hit in that right spot, and I thought it was sort of a little bit funny too how like he sort of it took him a little while to sort of come to, but the medical cart had a malfunction, and the statement from the team, the stadium and the team medical staff and everything was, oh no, we had a backup one there, but he'd already gotten up on his feet, so we just let him walk off under his own power. It's just like, I choose not to believe that, because they were still pushing the supposed broken down medical card off the field.
There was four or six of them pushing it.
So it was.
No, but so
was
backup sad. Quarterbacks get backup carts, then, is what you're saying. Clearly. Because if Ben Roethlisberger went down, I bet your bottom dollar that he would be walking off.
wouldn't be walking off under his own power. He looked a little bizarre too, like when he took the face mask off. Like it just, I don't know, did his head look unusually large or the helmet look unusually small? Like he looked like he was really filling out that helmet. So it just looked a little funny, without that face mask, without that grill.
Yeah, yep.
just looked a little funny. Like, I don't mean to laugh at it. And that was no laughing matter. But yeah, now Pittsburgh are on their third string quarterback. So it's just, all these measures that they put in place, roughing the passer and all the sort of BS that they do, quarterbacks are still getting hurt. Do you know what I mean? Like none of these things that they sort of put in place are going to stop quarterbacks from being hurt. So, and it's clear this year because there's some pretty high profile quarterbacks that have gone down this year. You know, and even some not so high profile quarterbacks that have been hurt this year. So, it's football. You take a hit, you're going to get hurt.
The only other bit of news that I had was Patrick Mahomes reaching 7,000 passing yards in 22 games. So he's the fastest player to reach that in the Super Bowl era, with the next fastest being Kurt Warner, but he did it in 25 games. So. Oh.
Wow.
And this is a guy. This was a guy on one leg. So yeah. Anyway, that was just a tidbit. I thought, wow, like that is ridiculous. He by far had his worst game, but he still was able to get that. So,
no, that's right. Yeah. What did he have? 326 yards. Yeah. Still passing for over 300 yards. Like that's just he's on pace, just this year to get like 6,400 yards.
Yeah.
So it's just insane what's happening there. How he's sort of thriving in Andy Reid's system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's definitely thriving in that system. Did you have any other sort of NFL news?
No, just sort of something that scrolled across the screens there before that, you know, as much as you don't really want to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, but, AJ Green is still another week away. So, You know, for all you Bengals fans out there, salvation is not any closer in AJ Green. So, anybody who's got Tyler Boyd in their fantasy league, ride him for as long as you can.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be me. So, AJ Green, just get healthy. Just get healthy, brother. And just, you know, stay away as you know, just get your body right.
I swear to God, when you said A, I thought you were going to say B after that. And I said, there's no way we're talking about him this week. But
hooray, no AB news. Like, you know, what an achievement that is. Kept his gob shut for a week.
So did you have any studs and duds of the week before we sort of finish it up?
Well, for me, obviously, the prime candidate for stud of the week is Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really go past what he did, but yeah, there's Aaron Jones with what he did, Amari Cooper with what he did, also, you know, Michael Thomas. You know, 11 catches for 182 yards and two TDs. Like he was terrific for the Saints against Tampa. So there's plenty of candidates there for start of the week. You know, Marlon Mack. Yeah, how good was he?
It was definitely a running back. It was definitely not a wide receiver week this week. It was a running back.
She was a ground and pound week this week. So I could probably go with either of those guys, but Christian McCaffrey was probably the clear out, I think, for this week.
I'll echo that. I guess it wasn't really a dud of the week, but I guess the thing that happened with Mason Rudolph, it's not so much that the dud was from the unfortunate breakdown of the second string cart, but the it was just, I don't know, is there still room, I guess, on the NFL sort of side of it? Is there still things they need to fix with the head knocks? Or people aiming, or not aiming for the heads, but you know what I mean? Like, is there, I don't know, I still think there's something there that they need to work on. Because like you said, it's happening so much in this season already.
Like a lot of it, a lot of times it's just, you know, can it just be just the fact of poor technique? But the other thing is, maybe, too, when they talk about leading with the crown of the helmet and all that sort of stuff too, you know, it's a large helmet. And a lot of times when they say that they're leading with the crown, they're leading with the crown of the helmet and stuff like that. Sometimes you simply can't get the helmet out of the way. Mm-mm. When you're trying to make a tackle. The other thing is too, it's like I said, trying to protect the quarterback, you know, the roughing the passer. There was one, I can't remember which game I was watching the highlights of, and it was essentially a simultaneous hit on the quarterback. It might have even been the 500th time that Mariota got hit in that Tennessee Bills game. And he got sacked another five times today, yesterday. But yeah, it was a simultaneous hit, and he didn't land on him or anything, and they called a roughing the passer penalty. It's like, oh my God. Like you may as well just have that orange jersey on him the whole time. And if you breathe on him, burp on him, fart on him, it's a roughing the passer penalty. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I suppose it's protecting the quarterbacks more, I guess, than anything, especially because they're probably the
hot. Look at all the measures that they put in to protect the quarterbacks. Look who's gone down. Nick Foles, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. Like, you're just going to be constantly changing the rules and putting in things to keep protecting the players. And it's just going to be something else that they're going to get hurt on. Like it you can't.
Yeah, I suppose a hit could be just a hit.
You can't wrap them in cotton wool.
You're right, and you're right. A hit's probably just a hit, and it probably just because it looked worse than it actually was. But it just, I don't know. I don't like the way the players. It was probably a technique thing, but I don't like the way the players. It still feels like some of the players are going head first, and that's probably just me or when I'm looking at it. But they just feel. I feel like it's the technique of the players that are doing it. But I mean. I don't know. It feels like they're not really going. Yeah, they feel like they're going head first all the time when they're tackling, and that's not always.
Well, a lot
the case,
of the times they, yeah, it's just the way that they're taught to tackle sometimes, especially when there's a breakdown of play or, you know, say on like a special teams, you know, punt return or kickoff return, like they don't try and wrap up. They don't try and wrap up the body. They try and punch the ball out. They try and just whack them as hard as possible. They try and put the body into them and hit them with their side. It's just strange, you know, watching as much rugby league as sort of, you know, that both of us have over the course of our lifetimes. It's just strange way to try and bring people, you know, to try and bring people to ground like this. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's obviously it's obviously just a, you know, an American football type thing, but it's just, it's just some of the, I've seen some kickers before. They just sort of essentially almost lay down on the ground and just sort of put their whole side body into them so they'll trip over them. Instead of trying to wrap up the ball or wrap up the legs or anything of that to try and get a legs tackle or something. It's just, I don't know. It's very strange the way they do it.
Yeah, definitely. That was, I guess, all I had for the NFL this week. Did you have anything to touch on before we finish up?
No, well, I just got a bit of a dart of the week. Unfortunately, the Titans kicker, Cairo Santos, who missed four field goals this week. And due to those four missed field goals, he has been released. So he, at this point in time, he is in the unemployed line. So apparently the coaching staff had lost confidence in him, as you would, after missing four field goals, which could have potentially, well, you know, in hindsight, yeah, did that cost them the game? Did it not? So, but four missed field goals. That's probably not so much grounds to be released, but yeah, that's not great.
I mean, yeah, for a kicker, it's hard to say this, but what else do they have to do except like
and
kick a field goal?
And a couple were sitters, like couple were, you know, under 30, you know, chip shots.
And there's so, most of the games. Are won by kickers, so
that's right.
I let go on that. It's a bit unfortunate because that's all they're employed to do, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's the way that the cookie crumbles, unfortunately. So I'm sure he'll get picked up by somebody, or you know, the XFL's coming soon. So you know, there's always the chance of.
Oh mate, we're gonna be littered with XFL, like so. True, definitely. It'll be another interesting thing to watch, but I guess we'll just hopefully it lasts a year, but that's a whole different.
The XFL are having some sort of, I tried to read up a little bit before we come on tonight about this XFL draft that they're doing. I might have to try and get a little bit more info on it. I only sort of read about it this afternoon, so I didn't really have a whole lot of time to sort of go right into it and sort of write some notes about it. So I might try and look into that a bit, do some amateur investigative journalism to try and find out a little bit more about this XFL draft that's supposedly coming up.
Well, when we live in Australia, it has to be amateur because it's not like we can go over there to start getting all the professional stuff. But anyway.
Oh yeah, we totally got to steal it off other people. So
yeah,
that's
we don't really have a choice at the moment. So. That's, you know, that's throwing any NFL clubs out there that want to invite us over to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We'll gladly take the invite to anyone that wants to invite us into their ball club for a week. That's totally fine. I'll be able to take holidays at the drop of a hat. So let's start that. Let's start that final hashtag final play pod in the US.
All right, well, that's going to be the hashtag. So then, talking about hashtags, then you'll be able to find us on Twitter at the Final Play Pod, where you'll most likely see that hashtag.
That hashtag is definitely going on.
along with Facebook, and still only SoundCloud. I think we did mention Spotify yesterday, but that's something we're still work in progress. So
we have a little work in progress, just on the Spotify side of things. We are on the Gimco podcasting network that is being worked out as we speak. So once the Gimco podcasting network is up and running, that will be on Spotify. So it's just a simple type into the search bar on Spotify, Gimco, so G-I-M-K-O, and the Gimco podcasting network should pop up. It's been a little bit temperamental at the moment, but I have found it a couple of times, and our podcasts are available on there if you are lucky enough to find it actually working on Spotify at this point in time. But as time goes on,
if you do, send us a link, because we need to find it as well. But that's that'll be great.
If you do find it, Leah, let us know. Give us a shout out. So we'll be definitely. I'll be definitely liaising with the admin of that. That said, podcasting network, and hopefully that will be up and running shortly, so that'll make it a little bit easier to find us on Spotify.
Well, my name is Jason. Have a good week, everybody.
Enjoy your week, everybody, and happy NFLing. And let's get that hashtag going.
I can't even remember it, so that's all on you, man.
That's right. I've got it written down, so we're good.
I remember NFL's in there, but we're definitely good. See you, everyone. Peace.
See ya.